Welcome to the Beauty Revival Podcast, where you're taken on a journey of miracles, transformation, and radical beauty, inside and out. I'm your host, MB York. I'm a celebrity makeup artist, esthetician, former spa owner, and product developer. This isn't just another beauty podcast. This is a movement. I'm bringing you my best anti-aging, beauty, skincare, and makeup tips, but we're going way deeper. From Hollywood sets to the supernatural, from breaking free of toxic relationships to unlocking the divine power within you, this is where beauty meets faith and transformation begins. Say goodbye to society's toxic traps and hello to God's mission for your life. So if you're ready, hit play and let's get started. Welcome to today's episode of Beauty Revival. And today I'll be talking about employees, entitlement, and evolution, what I learned the hard way. So a little bit of my backstory is I used to own spas. I had two spas for 10 years. I was a makeup artist and esthetician, and I really wanted to open up my spa. It was not, I was forced into it or I had some grand illusions. It just seemed like the next step based on my evolution of what I had been doing. And I lived in a really beautiful area that had a new center opening up. And I literally was one of the very first day spas in my area. And it was so exciting and it was so much fun in so many ways. I absolutely loved just doing the whole decor of it and all of my retail buying trips. I had a lot of fun clothing and jewelry and soaps and candles and you name it. But what quickly happened is it turned from a passion project into a perpetual headache of managing people. And I did have some really great people throughout the 10 years. There definitely was a handful, maybe even two hands of some really good people. But it was just a constant struggle and challenge. And I went from just being so excited, and as I said, the creative aspects of it for me were just a 10 of 10s. I absolutely loved the buying trips. I loved doing all my displays and unpacking my orders and selling everything. And obviously, I love my customers. But it was a lot because I feel like I should be everywhere. Like I should be up front when people were coming in. And if I was doing treatments in the back, I would be missing that. But if I was doing treatments in the back, I could hear everything happening up front and it should be me, you know, greeting people and basically telling them about the business and scheduling them. And there was just an art to every aspect of really building something that was special. And I was a perfectionist. And over the years, I created a lot of protocols because, you know, everything had to be done a certain way for customers to get, you know, a consistent experience when they would come in. And I intuitively just knew about service. I don't know exactly how, but I guess I knew how I would want to be treated. And I would always make it about my customers and try to give them the highest level of etiquette and service imaginable and trying to, you know, instill that in my employees, which, you know, was challenging. And to this day, I'll share a few stories as we go through. I'm just appalled by the lack of just common sense when it comes down to how people want to be treated and how they expect to be treated. And it was always kind of just this battle that I had to deal with getting my employees to think along the same lines that I was. And it sucked me dry. It just really, really was disappointing because again, the potential was always there, but it was a daily thing having to fight people's negativity and attitudes. And I'll give one quick example. I always remember the time my front desk was super busy, and we were really busy, the front of the spa too, because I would have people come in just to buy retail because we had a really big retail area and really great stuff. So even if they weren't getting services, they would just come in and shop. And I had a woman pull up, and she left her car running. And I don't know if she had her dog in her car or kids in her car, but she just ran in to make an appointment, and she was in a hurry. And I was up there, and the receptionist was trying to help her, and she got a little snippy, and it just didn't happen fast enough for her. And I tried to step in and, you know, speed it along, and I didn't take offense because she's trying to give my business her business. And of course, you know, I'm not going to get offended back that she was in a hurry. But after she walked out, one of my employees said, "We don't need customers like that." And it rubbed me so badly the wrong way. I just wanted to say, you may not, but I do. You know, I'm the one that has to pay the payroll every 2 weeks, pay the rent. You know, every person that came into my business, I would look at as, you know, somebody that's financially supporting my business. So I don't know. I guess, you know, maybe I'm too hard on people in some regards, but you can't get offended because somebody's in a hurry. You need to just help them get on their way. Obviously, she needed some relaxation. Seems like she was stressed out with stuff going on in her life. And she was trying to book something and give me her business. So anyways, that's just one little example. But there was just so many, you know, again, over the years, like I really wanted my employees to do well and to be happy there. So I would get out of their way and really help them to build up their clienteles as an esthetician. And I was just kind of off to the side managing the business. But in retrospect, you know, I would always think, gosh, if that I should have been the one doing that customer, because I would have done a better job. I would have, you know, sold them more stuff. I would have retained them. I would have made sure that they, you know, book their next appointment. And again, the money would have went to me, but instead I was always stepping aside and trying to build up my employees, which in retrospect didn't always end so well. You know, I would pour so much into them and teach them everything I knew, you know, in terms of protocols and sales techniques, and pay for them to take courses if they needed to learn something. And a lot of times, you know, there's just no loyalty. So, you know, if you have a spa or salon or any type of business, and these are the same kind of things you deal with, I think it's important to put protocols in for yourself so that you're covered, you know, and they can't just take, and then go out the door. So eventually I started having them sign non-compete agreements. And I know, you know, they could say, oh, those don't hold up in court, but I did just a 3-mile radius because I was in a very remote area. And, you know, if another place opened up across the street, you know, there's always those people that are going to build up their clientele, you know, with all the money that you spent on advertisement and magazine articles and mailers and everything else, and then go across the street and take their clientele. So I would have them sign something that said they couldn't, within a 6-month period after they left, work within a 3-mile radius of my spa. I also would have them sign certain paperwork that said if I paid for their training, microdermabrasion classes, maybe classes to get certified for lash extensions. I paid for one of my employees to go to school to learn how to do permanent makeup. You know, if I was investing in them, I had a form that they signed that if they were to quit within certain time frames, I could deduct a percentage of those costs from their paycheck. And so it gave me peace of mind when I was paying for stuff. And it made them commit more to working for me if I was going to be investing in them. And I did learn over the years, it's far easier to hire people like that were out of school, where I can just teach them my protocols and, you know, pay for them to get training that I thought was important, instead of people that would come in that already had things their own way. They knew it all. They didn't want to learn from me. And it was just a completely different attitude. And I just would say, any day of the week, it's more important to hire somebody that has the right attitude than it is to hire somebody maybe with more experience, because you can't change somebody's attitude or their, you know, general disposition. And I just did so much better once I took the reins and took control of that and, you know, had all of my systems and protocols in place, which it took several years to figure all of that out, because I was not even an esthetician until about 5 years in of owning my spas. I had somebody quit and give me no notice in the middle of a shift. And for the last time, I was like, I'm not going to sit here and be a victim. So I went and got my license and became an esthetician, which was a great decision, because I had another time. I had moved to San Diego for 3 years of the 10 years that I had my spa. My husband was transferred to San Diego, and I went back and forth with my spas. And yeah, so I had somebody managing it and maybe a couple other girls at the time, and some drama had started up and somebody was getting ready to quit. And since I wasn't there on a daily basis, like, the drama and stuff was really able to grow. And I just felt this lack of loyalty with whatever this vibe was that was going on. But, oh, I was getting ready to fire somebody because of, you know, something important that she wasn't doing. I don't remember all the details. But I talked to my manager at the time, and I told her, you know, and I said, I want to make sure that you're okay with this decision and that there's not going to be any surprises. And she reassured me that she was. And the same manager I had done so much for, she had gotten pregnant when she was like 19 or 20 and wasn't married. And I literally paid for her epidural when she had the baby and treated her like a family member. And she told me that she was okay and wasn't going anywhere. And then after I fired the one girl, the other one ended up quitting also. And so I had no choice but to get on a plane and fly to Scottsdale. And my daughter at the time was like an infant. And, you know, it was no easy task. But I remember the day that I must have flown, because I wouldn't have had a chance to drive. And I just decided, like, I was going to have a positive attitude. I was like, I'm not going to go in, you know, all negative. I'm going to have a great day. I just 100% just, you know, stayed positive. And so I flew into the spa and I took over with the clients. And like, two of the women that I did that day, like, bought huge packages of, like, you know, photofacial, microdermabrasion. So I had a huge day with, like, just me. And, you know, somebody walks in looking for a job. Like, I restaffed the place. Like, it was maybe 3 or 4 days I was there, and I just completely turned it all back around. And I'm telling you, the attitude thing is so important, because I don't know, I know that I'm powerful, and I know that my bad moods, any negativity has huge effects too. So I have to be so careful not to go dark, because things will just get way worse for me. But with the positivity, and I think I was so upset the night before that they had quit, that I like drank a whole bottle of wine or something with my husband, just venting. And so I even woke up like hungover, feeling terrible, but I was like, no, this is going to be a good day. I just reset my mind and got on the plane and literally turned it all around. But, you know, again, it's just a story of caution, because it doesn't matter how much you think you can trust people. You know, if you're managing from a distance, which I was, you know, that was a horrible thing to have happen. And you just can't count on people. You don't know. Things can change at any time. So, you know, again, like looking back, I had, you know, really built some people up to be making, you know, one of the girls that worked for me was like 26 and her W-2 was like 96,000. And it was because of the way I paid her. It was because of the way I trained her. Like, she did everything by the book, like I told her and trained her. And again, this is just another tip on how to hire smarter, how to pay. You know, in the beginning, I hired people and just paid them on straight commission because I heard that's just how it's done. You know, whether it's massage therapists or estheticians, you know, they make 50% commission or 60 or even 40. But it took me a few years to realize, like, by the time I pay like the sheet service and their taxes and everything else, like, I was making nothing unless they were selling retail. And then they would, you know, have this attitude like, I just don't like to sell. And I'm like, well, it's part of your job description. Otherwise, you know, facials are an amenity like a swimming pool at a resort. So it was part of their job description and part of servicing their client. I mean, there's studies done that if a client buys one product from you, they're 30% likely to come back. If they buy two products, 60. If they buy three or more products from you, they're 90% more likely to come back as a client. So it's a matter of retaining your clients as well. So again, I eventually just changed the structure completely, where I hired girls and just paid them hourly. And, you know, even back then, it wasn't a high hourly. It was maybe like 12 or 14 an hour. But then I paid them commission on their services. So say their facial was $85, I would pay them 20% commission on their facials as well. But it was after their first like $150 a day in services. So, you know, let's say they had a $500 service day. They did four facials, a brow wax, whatever. It ends up being $500. I would subtract that first $150, which would pay their hourly, and then they would get the 20% commission on the difference, which would be the $350 or $70 commission. And then they would get their tips, you know, cash tips and tips on credit cards. And they would get commission on their retail sales, which I paid them like 10% on retail. And my one manager, since she did all the ordering and of the products and, you know, a little bit of the management of the spa, I just paid her from dollar one with her commissions. And that was her W-2. So, but again, she worked super hard. She would come in early for clients, you know, starting them at 7 a.m., 7:30. She would stay late. She didn't take a lunch. She did complimentary makeup on every client. She sold products to every client. She took the time to close her sales, to teach them how to use their retail. And she rebooked every client. She sold series. She just did it all like a robot, like I had trained her. And again, she was there my last 3 years or so that I had my spa. It took me a long time to figure all this out and get these young girls in place. But I did prove specifically with her how well it could be done. And then there was a couple other girls that were paid the exact same way. One of them made around $38,000, the other made around $50,000. And it was because they just didn't do it at the same level and at every step of the way. So they did not give as much, and their paychecks reflected that. Hey, real quick, if you're loving the tips and stories I'm sharing, you've got to check out the beauty products I've created. These aren't just any products. My beauty ammo kit has been used on Hollywood sets and on shows like Dancing with the Stars, and my Paint by Number eyeshadow kit was featured twice on the Today Show, and it was a 5-star customer pick on HSN. I'm offering them as a bundle for just $99 to my Beauty Revival launch listeners, and it is $155 value. If you're looking for lifted skin, brighter eyes, and that youthful glow, my magical trio is your new best friend, featuring the fan favorite Lift and Snap Serum, my Unpack Your Bags Eye Gel, and the Marine Magic Moisturizer. Oh, and don't miss my Supernatural Brow product. It helps them get thicker with castor oil, and it's really easy to use. And if you want the most flattering, shimmery lipstick ever, Capri is it. Inspired by my travels and looks stunning on absolutely everyone. Head to mbyork.com to shop all of my best sellers. I even bundle them in kits to keep it easy. That's mbyork.com. The link is in the show notes. It's time to get glowing. And I did also train the girls to all cross train. Another thing I learned is because when I would interview people, you know, everybody puts their best face forward. A couple tips I'll give for interviewing. One of the things, because I interviewed so many people over the years, one of the things I learned that was never wrong is the people that I hired that worked out and did well were the ones that came and were super excited. They specifically wanted to work for my spa. They had heard about my spa. They loved the decor. They loved everything we were doing. They loved the beauty ammo, the spa girl vibe. They wanted in. Those were the ones that did well. Whenever I interviewed somebody that was like standoffish, well, I have a couple more interviews, you know, that was more inquisitive, wasn't 100% on board out of the gate, that never worked out. And I would just know I don't even want them, you know, because I got to the point of knowing that it would not end well. But if they ever did grace me with, you know, accepting the job offer, it would not end up well. So it was just like an intuition, a vibe, like the ones that were excited, the ones that, you know, brought that enthusiasm, they were the ones that I hired. They're the ones that got the job and they're the ones that worked out. So again, beware of hesitation. I have to say that. And again, the other thing I decided to do, because a lot of times, again, people just put on one persona for the interview and they're a completely different person. It's like dating, you know? And I would say, I wish I had a photo of like the girl at the interview and then the girl picking up her stuff after she was fired 6 months later and put them side by side. And the girl at the interview is wearing like a black dress with like a white doily collar, her hair pulled back. She looks like an attorney, you know, completely professional. And then the girl picking up her stuff is wearing cutoff blue jean shorts, you know, showing her butt cheeks, you know, her boobs falling out of her tank top, you know, basically blowing a big bubble and snapping her gum as she sashays out in her flip-flops. It's like, you don't know a lot of times. And I just started to do something that really, really worked out well. And that was whenever somebody seemed to be a fit for a position, whether it was an esthetician, a massage therapist, I would say that they had to come spend the day with us or at least 4 or 5 hours and just hang out at the spa, help answer the phone, help the other girls in between appointments, just get a vibe. And I would tell them, you know, it was a way for them to get a feel for, you know, our environment in a way for us to see if she's a fit with the team. And oh my gosh, it was so amazing because I think the first time I did that, the girl that was like shadowing, I'll call it, an hour in, we were all just rolling our eyes like, what is up with this girl? And, you know, we ended up not hiring her because there was so many red flags. And she went on to come back 2 weeks later and slam paperwork on my counter and tell me she's suing me and went to the labor board and cosmetology board. Like, she tried to cause me so many problems, and it was because I didn't hire her, but I had forgotten. I don't remember the exact details, but she just vowed that I was going to pay for not following up and hiring her. But anyways, thank God that I did it that way, with just like a few hours trial with somebody. And I feel like if somebody isn't willing to give, you know, a few hours of their time for their own sense too, and again, it wasn't even about paying her for the hours that she was there. It whatever had fallen through the cracks. It was about just getting a feel. And I'm so glad that I did that. And then we always kind of did that going forward, because you just get a better idea. And then I could get the feedback from the other employees, because when they were on board, everything just would flow smoother. And there was one person that I did not think would do well. I thought she was just way too shy, but my manager at the time really did. And my manager kind of overrode me, and she was right and I was wrong. So it's good to kind of get multiple opinions, especially, you know, when they have to work with the person and you want to have a good environment. And I've gone through stages in the past where one person could just poison the entire staff. I mean, I had it happen. Somebody made up lies and said I was changing everyone's pay structure. And I mean, it was just horrible. And by the time I found out, you know, it was too late, because there was a lot of damage that was done. And sadly, you know, people can be really, really weird. So anyways, after like 10 years, my lease came up on my spa, and I had my products on HSN, you know, for a couple years at that point also. And that was a full-time job for me. And I was going to have to move my location, and I was on TV all the time, and people were driving from all different parts of the valley after my TV segments. And I wanted to go somewhere that wasn't so remote. And even though I had my great clientele there, but I felt like I needed to expand it if I was going to keep it. But at the same time, I was just so beat up by the day-to-day challenges of running the business, and felt like I couldn't grow my brand. And any of the other locations I had looked at, just the doors would not open. And so back to Beauty Revival, you know, I really do feel like it was God's way of shutting that door and just making me, you know, more thinking of the big picture. Because, you know, you can't grow things when you're just doing the day in and day out of the brick and mortar. And I have gone on to obviously further develop my makeup and skincare lines and selling them to salons and spas, and now doing my Beauty Revival podcast. I've wrote my book this year, which is in final stages of editing, Beauty Revival. I have many other books that are in the shoot, and you know, it's all about my mission now and sharing what I've learned in both beauty, business, and breakthrough with the mission, talking about all these different categories from obviously my Christianity and how, you know, my life has changed since I've elevated, you know, every aspect of it, my friend circles, you know, my my bar of access to me, whether it's through dating or opportunities. You know, I don't do anything anymore without making sure that, like, it's something God wants me to do and that I have His stamp of approval on it, because I've just known, like, when you are banging on doors and they don't open, like, rejection is God's protection. So I'm just trying to stay aligned with what He wants me to do. And again, trying to help empower women with connecting to their own missions and to, yes, just seeing the bigger picture. And when you're connected to your own mission, you have your source, which is our Heavenly Father. Like, that is my source. It's not my opportunities, you know, unless it's something that He has put in my lap. So again, as far as like freedom over frustration, you know, I just want to encourage other entrepreneurs to trust your intuition, you know, to hire slow and fire fast. That's another thing my dad would say to me, you know, that when something's wrong, like say it's a piece of art, you know, that's not working, you change it. But when it comes to employees, like you really take a long time before you let somebody go. And over all the years and all the employees that I had, like, I never once let somebody go and wish I would have waited longer. I always waited way too long to let them go. I would see signs very early on, you know, that it wasn't working. And I can't tell you one scenario where somebody turned around and became a great employee, you know, after not being a good one. And it's not, I'm not talking about like needed training. I'm talking about integrity. I'm talking about, you know, their attitude, like being reliable, being responsible, you know, and doing what you train them to do. So I don't know. I feel like as a woman too, it was really tough for me. I feel like if you're a man and you ask for something simple, you know, they will do it. But the fact that I was a woman, I got a lot of pushback, and that was tough. That was really tough. And it became so personal. And you know, I would want to be liked, and I just learned about halfway through, you know, that that's not possible. I have to let go of that, really keep my boundaries and not worry about it and realize like it comes with the territory. You know, I'm not always going to be liked, and it's better to be respected. And you know, there's the ones that are for you. And of course, they love me. I treated them like gold. I bought them Louis Vuitton at Christmas, did everything for them. And then there's other people that, you know, think I was a terrible person to work for. And it's because they had no tolerance for correction and no tolerance for direction. So I can't control that. And if I tried to hang on to people like that because I wanted them to like me, like that is the definition of insanity. So it really was about embracing that fact that it's okay to not be liked. But I can honestly say I probably had like 6 years afterwards of just like, what is the word? Just recovery. I felt like I needed just to detox from the employees and what I had put up with and how much of my peace I had to sacrifice for productivity. And now I have this, like I say, I'm a gypsy because I just like hire people as freelancers for what I need for events and for graphics and for, you know, I sub everything out. And for me, that is the revival in my business and in my spirit, is I'm not work, because I was working for my employees. And anytime I would hire someone, even as an assistant, it just turned into now I have to show up for them. I have to be there to train them. And meanwhile, you know, they're late or they're not showing up because their boyfriend didn't come home all night and the IKEA shelf fell and hit them in the head. And the amount of stories, I mean, even just the other day, I hired somebody for an event and she showed up for the first 10 minutes and said she wasn't feeling well and then left without telling me. And I haven't heard from her since. I texted her and said, I hope you're okay. And I never even got a response. And I just don't understand. I don't understand. So I'm just pivoting accordingly and really staying in alignment with what I can trust, which is me. I can trust myself that I'm going to do the job. I can trust God that He's going to have my back. So that's where I'm at. You know, maybe it will change in the future, but for now, it's blissful. It is revival and it is my peace. And I feel like my mission is about peace more than anything. So that is it for today. So thank you so much for listening. Until next time, have a great one. Bye. That's a wrap on today's episode of Beauty Revival. Remember, true beauty starts in the mind and spirit. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2. If today's message spoke to you, share this episode with a friend who needs a little beauty revival in their life. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It helps more women just like you step into their God-given glow. For more inspiration, beauty tips, and faith-fueled empowerment, connect with me on Instagram at mbyork.beauty and check out my website, mbyork.com. Until next time, stay radiant, stay revived, and let's glow.